to be here together, to hear the word of the Lord, to worship together on this Lord's Day, and to hear what the Lord has for us today. For the Lord is mighty and he is strong. Let us pray. Father, we bow our heads, we bow our hearts, we bow our lives to you. And we pray to you, Lord, that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, inspire every aspect of this service today. We need you, Lord. There's nothing we can do on our own that could match your endless power and grace. And yet you love us so much that you fill our hearts and minds with yourself. Thank you that you live in us. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you. Now, please, Father, guide us, direct us, guide the sermon, guide the service. Open the eyes and the ears of all of us here to hear and to say. And thank you, Lord, for everything. We ask for your blessing during this service. May it be inspired. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we learned about the explosive power of the resurrection. And that is not just something to say. It is for real. God lives in us. And we learned about that explosive power. But today, my question to you is, why the resurrection? Why do we need the resurrection? And the point is that the resurrection displays the glory and the power of God in us and through us. Christ is the most important individual who is alive and promises us eternal life. And Christ is the most important person that we have to depend on and need to depend on. And the resurrection is the most important event in the whole history of the world. And we praise God for that event. And there are other events. I want to show you some of the reasons why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important, so important. One of the reasons the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important is because we are justified before God and because of God in us. Justified. Have you ever needed justification? Have you ever done something or thought something and you were caught? Hate to put it that way. And you tried to justify, well, mama, daddy, you know, you don't understand, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I did this because of somebody else. We like to justify, but that kind of justification doesn't work. The only way we can be justified is not by our works or our stories or our things we want to slip under the rug. We need complete justification, and it is Jesus Christ who paid it all for all of our sins and all of our failures. And we can have faith in him and our sins. He gave us and he justified us. What is greater than God to stand in our place? What is greater than God to take all of our sins and he gives us his righteousness, not just taking our sins. He gives us his righteousness. What a love. What a God. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he was delivered over to death for our sins. As we used to say as teenagers growing up, well, he took the rap. Perhaps you've seen some movies of gangsters who go in and they say, no, I didn't do it. He did it. Listen, God didn't do it. God doesn't sin. But what he does do, he takes our sins. He took our sins, nailed them to the cross with Christ, and took all of our sins. A righteous, holy God did that for you and for me. Next time you're feeling down and worthless, realize what God has done for you and why he did it, because he loves you and that you, for you. Worthy of it all. He took all of it for us. Justification. That's what it's called. It means to put right what was wrong. Nobody else can come in and straighten out our sins and our problems. Only Jesus. He justified us. He's not saying justified it from the point of view of, oh, it's all right. It was just when it was wrong. He took our sins. He took the wrong. And even he, being righteous, took our unrighteousness and our sins. And he died on the cross. That's what Jesus said. Jesus died and he paid it all of our sins and our sin debt forever and ever. You see, that's what it's all about. It's about what God has done for us. So, without further ado, I'm going to pray. And Father, we just thank you for your love and your mercy and for your grace. We thank you that you died for our sins in our place, and that we receive all of your goodness and all of your righteousness at the cost of all of our sins. Thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. Have an encounter with the living Christ. Just as Jesus entered the world in holiness, he invites us, even to today, to approach his table, the bread and the wine, with reverence and purity of heart. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 24. He reminds us of this. When you take the bread, the cup, that is the wine, we remember the one who was born holy. Jesus was born holy. And he lived a holy life. And he died. See what he's done? He's died to make us holy. What a wonderful, what a glorious God. Holiness is not about perfection in our lives, in our own strength, or our efforts, but it is what God has done. It is by his strength. The purposes of communion is a moment where heaven touches earth, where the holy presence of Christ renews us, strengthens us, and sends us out to live differently. God saved us so that we could live differently and to be a blessing in his righteousness to others. We'll read that again. It strengthens us. The Lord's Supper strengthens us and sends us out. It's not just a good meal for us, but it strengthens us to send us out to bring the love and joy of the Lord to others. As we come to the table this day, let us remember we are invited because of his holiness. You've been invited by the Holy One, not ourselves. We are cleansed by his sacrifice, not by our works. Keep that in mind. It is what the Lord has done. We are cleansed by his sacrifice, not our works. We are sent out into the world, into our neighbors, to our family and friends, with his holiness in the world. Let us eat and let us drink in gratitude and in awe, just realizing what he's done, even from that song, what he's done. And to just to say, wow, look at what you've done. And with that gratitude and with the holiness that is reflected from us, Christ in us, to the world, let us eat and drink with gratitude and awe and be renewed and committed to walk through Jesus Christ in the light of the one who came to save us. And it is Jesus Christ who came to save us. Let us pray. Let us pray. as we partake of the bread. I hold a piece of bread in my hand. And this represents, this is a light to the world, not just the bread, but our lives. The bread is symbolized, Jesus is symbolized by the bread. And as I eat of this bread, I have to examine myself. Is the light of the Lord, is communion just for me, or is it for those who see the light of Jesus in and through me? And so, Father, we ask you to bless this bread as we eat of it, and as we eat of it, and we examine ourselves before we eat of it. And then as we eat, let us be thankful and grateful for the life of Jesus Christ, of you, Jesus, who lives in us. You are that living bread. And so let us eat of the bread. And Lord, we ask you to bless it and bless our lives to be a blessing to others, that they be filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.